Hi there, it's a pleasure having you join us on this auspicious episode of the Fun Circuit Junction Real Talk. And I do hope that you've had a lovely week, even as you join us in the episode today. In the studio, I got with me my hermano, my hombre, the one and only, Reshe with the big chest.
Yeah.
What's going on, bro?
Yeah, how you doing now?
Resh, it's been a while since you got things off your chest.
I did not. That's what I'm saying. Just saying. That's what I want to get off my chest.
It's been a while. What's going on?
Yeah. I mean, the stress that you gave me last on the last episode. That's what I'm still recovering from.
How do you do that, though? That's what they call gaslighting 101. How did I give you stress on the last episode? I mean, we had a civil conversation.
Yeah, we had a civil conversation.
And I was trying to get your perspective. How is that giving you stress?
Yeah, it's a civil conversation. Yeah. So we can pick from there.
We can let it go from there, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it was a good discussion anyway. Always a good discussion. Sometimes comes across as heated, you know, because I mean, you're trying to get perspective on exactly what some guys are saying on set and all. So I mean, it's one of those things, really. One of those things.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it was interesting to also get some feedbacks and, you know, from listeners on how they view the origin of religions and spirituality as a whole.
Yeah.
And the idea of putting tags on spirituality.
Yeah.
You know.
I got quite a number of feedbacks, and it was good feedbacks, you know. And like I always say, your religion, don't force it on anybody, you know, and just let people be. You know, if that God is actually sovereign, and let him punish them if he has, that's the case eventually anyway.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
The
main one that I want us to jump on quickly. So the Women's World Cup, the Women's FIFA World Cup was concluded a couple of weeks ago. Spain ended up emerging as the winner of this year's World Cup.
England didn't take it home.
Yeah, I mean, I feel for England. I feel
always
like just
coming home, but yeah, they never really get
so close, and just when you think this is their year, this is their time, it just ends up in heartbreak.
I remember the what's it called, the Men's World Cup. Then, you know,
we're bringing it home. It wasn't the World Cup. I think it was Euros.
I
think it was Euros where England made it to the finals.
It was World Cup.
World Cup. I don't think England has made it to the finals of the World Cup. Nah, was Euros. I think it was 22 Euros. So, anyways, Spain, they beat England. Yeah, won the World Cup. And I feel like while it was meant to be a true watershed moment for Spanish football and women's football for Spain and in the world in general, because I think this particular World Cup was one that, you know, gathered more attention for women football than in recent times. You know, even our Super Falcons, they went there, did their thing, made it to the quarter round of 16, made the country proud. At a time when women's football was about to enjoy some limelight, this major controversy has kicked in, right? While the ladies were getting their medals, about to raise the cup after winning it, the Spanish football players, the Spanish Football Federation president, let me see, what's his name again? I think it's Rubiales. You know the thing you do where the players are on the podium, they're getting their medals, they get the customary handshake from, you know, FIFA president, your country's sports minister or football federation minister, exactly. This was a bit weird, though, because the Spanish Football Federation's president, Luis Rubiales, appeared to be a little too excited with the ladies.
Yeah.
It was a lot of hugging going on, a lot of pecks going on, you know, a lot of touching going on. And I think he would have probably gotten away with it up until he got to Spanish football player Hermoso. I think maybe she's the captain of the team, I don't even know. And in that case, not only did Rubiales give her a tight hug, he appeared to have kissed her in the mouth in excitement, anyways, congratulating them for a good work, good job done. And that has sparked off serious controversies.
I can see the whole lot of stuff that is going on about that. Yeah,
it's been wild. Now, what's even taking it over the top is at the time when the Spanish Football Committee, the chairman of the Spanish Football Committee resigned following the backlash, everyone also expected that Rubiales was going to resign too. And then he's come out and categorically stated that he will not resign for kissing Hermoso. According to him, it was a mutual thing. They hugged, they embraced. He asked her if he could give her a kiss, according to him, and she did not object, and he gave her a kiss. Everything happened really fast, by the way. And he's saying, why are you guys gaslighting me? This lady in question never even made an issue at the onset. It was when a couple of people raised this on social media and said, nah, this is absolutely disgusting. Then all of a sudden, the lady starts to say, oh, you know what? It wasn't actually consensual. I didn't really enjoy the kiss. And then everyone has blown out of proportion. They've tagged him, all kind of things. And I'm saying, and they're saying, you got to go, right? How this looks really messy, by the way.
Yeah.
Because FIFA has suspended him too for three months.
Giving him 90 days. Yeah.
Yeah, to investigate the whole issue. Yeah. I mean, what do you think about all this? Really?
Yeah, we're in the world of it is social media age. anything that appears to look like an offense, maybe on the party. Maybe on the side, anything that looks like an offense on the side,
on the female side. Say with your chest. on the women's side.
No, not necessarily women. I just feel like everybody just likes to win in the social media age.
Okay.
They also don't count the cost, on the person that they are persecuting, in that sense.
Okay.
One of the things that that I've come to understand is that sports is very, very emotional.
Okay.
Sport is an emotional, activity and all that, And when Spain won that, won the World Cup and all, I think it's something of joy for the nation, I want to believe it's something of joy for the president. Is it president?
Yeah, the president. Yeah, the Spanish Football Federation.
Yeah, so I want to believe it's something of joy for him. And the sport of the moment, you can't really, and they are female, for crying out loud. The appropriate thing to do is to give them hugs, from a man to even a female to a female. Guys even hug themselves, I can't really blame him in that sense, because I don't want to believe that he did it. Maybe he's using his position or something like that to, but what they are saying is it's kind of sexual.
So here's the thing, right? So I saw, I didn't watch the final, but I saw a 1 minute clip that showed all of the Spanish players, on the podium. And I think he was actually a little bit too touchy. I think so, because really, and I'll tell you why I think so, right? If it was the men, if it was a men's competition and the men were the ones who had won and they were on the podium getting their medals, I don't think he would have been hugging them like that.
Yeah, because,
right?
Because they are
probably
men.
You'd have probably been an official handshake, right?
Because they are men.
And actually,
yeah.
A handshake, a pat on the back, a smile, keep it moving.
Yeah, because
so my question
men.
Is also, is it because they are women, he thinks he has the right to be hugging them, jacking them up in the air? Pecking them on the cheek. He pecked every single one of them on the cheek.
I have hugged them,
lifted them off the ground.
Yeah, I don't really think there is anything wrong.
No. I think that's crossing boundaries.
Why
would you say you don't think there's anything wrong with that? I think there's something wrong with that.
When I was very young, there was this event that happened at Roe Park, Alagumeji. Roe Park is the mecca of
sports activity
at the time. And there was basketball that they were playing, and I think it was First Bank, First Bank. Basketball used to be very, was the bomb at that time, really. It was very, very, the league was going in a good trajectory and all and everything, before they messed up everything. You know, so the first bank was really the tough team then, you know, and they, I mean, it was a very intense game. You watch it at the indoors. It was a very intense game, you know, and then there was this, I mean, lady. I'm telling you stuff that has happened, like, I mean, decades ago, you know, and this was a back and forth, you know, and, you know, like, you do your own three-pointer now, you know, and the other team too, you know, come and gives you another bucket. You know, it was very intense. It
back
was,
to back.
And everybody was rooting for, majority of people in the hall was rooting for First Bank and all.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a particular, lady that was really hot on the First Bank team. And then, you know, she was able to carry the team, you know, to the end. You know, everybody that, because it was a buzzer beater type of, you know, game winner and all. Everybody on that in that hall that day had a bite off of that. Off of that girl.
Okay.
And it was genuine, like people wanted them to win, and it was very, very genuine. It was almost like they were going to choke her to death.
When you say they had a bite of her, what did you mean?
No, I'm talking
like they surrounded her, they gathered her.
No, I'm talking of celebration, like hugging her.
Yeah, normal level.
And what's it called? I mean, I went there too because I was very small, I was very young, I was very, very small. I was like, yeah. I love you, you know, and all. It was an emotional event, and everybody
understandable.
Yeah, so for me, I don't really think that, I mean, he's done anything bad, and that's the thing with crucifying people. Because you don't know, I mean, what's it called, their hearts. You don't know what they really meant, you know. And what's it called, for maybe an innocent event like that and all.
Yeah.
And then you are crucifying him and all. I just don't like this age of crucifixion.
I bond with you on that one. When the whole thing went off, right, I was also on the part of, guys, can we tone it down a little bit? I know that we are in a generation where everyone is trying to be politically correct. But this was a tournament, Spain weren't, you know, the favorites to win.
Yeah.
You know, they did a good one, ended up winning.
Everybody was
there's a lot of excitement. It's allowed, or it's okay for people to show that excitement in some kind of way. However, I thought that the incident was an isolated incident with just the Hermoso lady, until I watched the clip and I saw that he was actually quite touchy with all of them.
He was hugging all of them. I saw it.
Yeah, and it was not an ordinary hug. You know, it's a hug. He's lifting them up.
Yeah,
I mean, I get that, right? But hear me out here. Hear me out.
Okay.
Here, right. First of all, in his capacity, he is not a friend to these girls or an acquaintance. He's occupying the capacity as the president of the Footballing Federation, right? It behoves on him to be able to display a certain level of decorum and professionalism in congratulating and showing thanks or appreciation to these girls. I think that the best you could have done was a firm handshake, a pat on the back, you know, maybe two hands on the shoulders to say, I'm proud of you. But he's hugging them all close to his chest.
Nah,
he's lifting them up. He's keep pecking them. Then he got to him also. He was tired of pecking them now. He now gave this one full frontal. I mean, no, let's not excuse bad behavior.
For my own view. Okay, for me, like I said, sports does not know age. It's a game of emotions.
Nobody's saying about age.
You said, even in emotions. You said he's in his capacity. This guy, I know Mark Cuban, for instance. Mark Cuban is the owner of Dallas Mavericks. They find Mark Cuban like more than. It's like every word that he says because of his emotions.
I can imagine why they'll find him. Yeah. Find him.
Because of his emotion.
Yeah.
Every word that he says carries a lot of, you know, I mean, getting people upset and not getting the league upset and all. And yeah, they find him. I think there was a time they find him close to like $500,000. I mean, and that's like the peak of fines and all, you know.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, of which, I mean, you you see different owners, different.
So do you think that the fines that he gave him are not justified?
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem that I have now is the lady now coming out to say she wasn't feeling the
no, in that area, and again, she's not serious, because yeah. When the thing happened at first, it seemed
she was
like
laughing.
Yeah, it seemed like it's all good. Yeah. We move until somebody pointed out and said, no.
You get what
this
I'm
is
saying.
This is unacceptable.
Now you get what I'm
then
saying.
She's now coming and saying, yeah, I was actually uncomfortable with the case. I didn't like it, and now it seems like people have taken the agenda from her own hand. She's not the one actually pushing anything. It's just the entire, you know, organization or whatever it is coming and saying, no, we must make an scapegoat of this guy. This kind
like,
of a behavior is not acceptable.
I mean, I just don't like the way, I mean, people just kind of take people down in this social media age, really. And I don't know if you know Liz Cambage. Liz Cambage is, what's it called? She's a...
I know her, that tall basketball, female basketball.
Half Nigerian, half Australian and all. She was playing for Australian basketball and all.
Yeah.
And, there was a time they went for the Olympics during the COVID and all those stuff and all.
Yeah.
She said she didn't want to go and all. You know, they forced her to go because she's the star of the team and all. She's one that carries the team and all. And then because of her frustration, all this frustration and all, I think she blew up. You know, she blew up. She said something, you know, like maybe all everybody should just go home and all. And they pinned it on her. They said Mineka and Chene Okumike that they are. What's it called? They are monkeys that should go back to their third world country, you know. And very, very nasty, you know. And they pinned it on her. They were going to destroy her career. They were going to destroy just because she's a very strong-willed, you know, girl, and all. And she fought her way back, you know. Like she didn't say. Now, I mean, Nigeria is recruiting her, you know, because they've actually banned her from Australian by.
Wow.
Yeah, they banned her from. Said she's not gonna play again and all. But now, when people now found out the back end of the story, you know, they're not like, oh, it's not really. As a matter of fact, it is the people that are crucifying her that are the ones that are the the bad guys and all. But because she's just the lonely voice, you know, she's just the one voice and all that everybody. And because she's fine, you know, she's very pretty, she's tall, she's big, you know, she's like the she's like the. The life of the party, whenever she enters the room, everybody kind of attention goes to them and all.
Yeah.
She's got good endorsement and all that and everything. And you know the way ladies can be petty, very petty, everybody, you know, and all. So for me, I don't, and until she now came out to start speaking, to start saying, okay, can we put it on record? Go and bring the tape of where I said whatever I said. You can't just say somebody said, you know, and then you want to kill the person's career just because of. What's it called? And all this social media crucifixion and all that.
Yeah.
So for me, I've never been for it. You know, it happens in politics too. You don't support somebody's party, kill him. You know, and all. So for me, I'm not really for that. Really, you know, I hope he's able to weather this storm and come out. You know, next time he should be hugging. Too.
Yeah, because I mean FIFA. I know FIFA now. Anything that is trending, they ought
don't
to align. They've quickly suspended the guy.
Don't mind them. Walk.
For 30 days while they carry out, was it 90 days, while they carry out their investigation.
Walk stars. Don't
I don't know what they're investigating. Everything happened.
All of them are criminals. All of them are criminals. Frauds. Trying to act as if they are all cute. I know.
I mean, while I agree that there was, I personally don't think there was anything sinister in what he did, I think he needed to have just learned a bit of, you know, boundaries and respecting, especially because they were women, their personal space. I think keeping it simple is just always the easy safe bet, you know, handshake, a pat on the shoulder, you know, maybe at best a light hug, but packing, carrying them up, kissing, I mean, that he just uses his own hand to put himself inside unnecessary trouble.
But that's just the way, for me, that's my view. It's more like, and it's the way I look at him as an elderly person, you know. I mean, what's it called?
He's not that elderly. Did you see when Spain scored their goal and the cameras shifted to him?
Yeah.
While he was celebrating the goal, he appeared to grab his crutches. You know the expression when you're like big cojones, right?
Yeah.
And he was doing that, and I'm like, bro, come on.
That's not an elderly behavior. You see, now this thing is now putting pictures in people's head, you know. There is that narrative, like maybe he's actually he's a sexual predator,
misogynistic guy
and all that. So now everything that he does be seen in that.
But can you blame people though?
I mean, when you
put up that kind of vibe about yourself, you make it easy for people to tag you.
I don't really think so. I don't think if that is his intent, then that bad, too bad, you know. But I don't think so. Sport is emotion, emotions true and true, and people should not kill it because of their own wokeist and wokeism mentality and all. Yeah, so.
Just on the topic of our Nollywood Nollywood crooners who are making Nollywood proud, we talked about Jagun the movie last week. I was also privileged to see another production from Fema Adebayo, King of Thieves, Geshinkole. I watched that one too during the week. Almost the same sort of guys.
You've been getting your
my Nollywood. No, because you know, like I've been saying for the longest time, right? I don't see any reason why we should be fawning over Hollywood or American music and other stuff, right? I think that we should get to the point where we celebrate our own, we like our own, and we support our own. And especially because, listen, our guys are also stepping up, right?
Yeah,
they are doing some good stuff, writing some very good stories. You know, getting their productions together, so why not, right? And I think just within this moment of rave that Nollywood is getting on, a little bit of heated exchanges are coming up, right? Nollywood actress Aisha Lawal, she was one of the stars in the Jagun movie. She also featured in King of Thieves, done by Fema Adebayo. During an interview, she's alleged that. While the interviewer seemed to insinuate that Nollywood Yoruba part of Nollywood seems to be catching up, you know, and then she's like, nah fam, what do you mean? I mean, the Yorubas started Nollywood, like we've been here since the days of Ade Love and all that niggas. Like, just because we dropped off don't mean we weren't there. You know, and very quickly, you know, the guys from the other side have not taken lightly to her, man. Guys like Gideon Okeke, you know, they fought back. Mary Remy Njoku has fought back. You know, a couple of Igbo artists and actors and actresses are like, why don't you just call Nollywood Yollywood? If you think that Yoruba guys are the only ones that made
Kannywood.
It's Kannywood.
You think Kannywood?
Yeah, that's for the northern guys, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you just call your own Yollywood, since you think you guys started things over here?
Yeah. I mean, there is no capping in what she said, you know?
Are you sure?
There's no capping in what she said.
What do you mean there's no capping in what she said?
The biggest, cinema movies, you know, while I was growing up, I think I mentioned it time and over again.
Yeah.
The biggest... movies in the cinema while I was growing up where Ade Love movies, Hubert Ogunde's movies, there's Baba Salah's movies, you know. I mean,
so the question I'll ask is, during those times, are you saying that English Nollywood movies weren't being made?
I don't even know anything about because everything now is now tagged Nollywood, we should also forget that Nollywood was coined by one American guy like that, you know, and all. But everything was tagged, you know, Nollywood eventually. But there were good sitcoms, you know, on TV at the time, you know, and all that were doing. I mean, there were English Pidgin and all and everything, you know. So I really don't think this should cause any controversy, really. You know, I mean, this spirit of always wanting to be like, you know, the voice and all, what does that really matter? You know, if the whole industry is moving, you know, in the right direction, you know, because maybe a particular tribe, you know, putting their money where their mouth is, you know, then everybody should embrace it, really. You know, we shouldn't be treating ourselves as if we are still maybe like different countries, you know, and all. You know, the reporter that asked that question too. I mean, I don't think the person is well researched. You know, if the person is well researched, you won't be asking all those.
I don't think there was anything wrong in the question she asked, right? And it's all about understanding the context. Yes, you can mention the Roberto Gundes and the Adelovs of the 60s and all that, right? But the fact is, at the point in time, the quality of the Yoruba movies that are being made, you know, could not make it to the big screens. At the point in time, later on,
yeah,
right?
But what
and then we had more of the English speaking, you know, Nollywood movies being done by the Igbos, right?
That still,
you know, making it to the big screen and getting the front page,
but that still
right?
That still doesn't make it true. That Yoruba movies are catching up.
You're catching up, and you fell off at some point, and then you're catching up.
There's nothing wrong with that. No, they're actually the ones that set the standard.
What standard? Sorry.
Well, maybe because you are.
I mean, you can say that the Yoruba movies were big at some point, right? But they fell off.
Yeah, maybe because
they fell off. Did they fall off or did not fall off? It's just like you saying. Let me give an example. Like you saying First Bank and Union Bank now. That we know that they were the big banks of the 90s, right? The late 90s. And then you know for a fact that in the last 3 or 4 decades, these banks are falling off. Today, if you mention Union Bank, they'll tell you Old People's Bank. And then if for some reason, today, we have a revolution in these banks,
yeah.
Right? I'm not giving an example that can be relatable. If there's a revolution in one of these banks now, and all of a sudden, Union Bank or First Bank, you know, Women Bank is now becoming a major bank that everybody is, you know, just like we that moved to OP and Pampi, everybody's moving to Union Bank and Women Bank. And somebody asked the CEO of Women Bank, I say, oh, do you think that you guys are doing a good job at catching up? What do you think in that context that question is trying to relate to?
Now, what's it called? You are bringing a different scenario entirely.
Right, you do this all the time.
Wait now.
How is it a different scenario?
Wait, like, this one is a different scenario.
Okay.
What the impression that I got from that interview is, okay, the Yorubas are now catching up. And the lady was like, no, the Yorubas are actually the box office musical movies at the time. You know, I mean, in the earliest days of, what's it called, Nollywood. And all, it wasn't even Nollywood at that time. They were the one that kind of put, I mean, like I said, my dad was a restaurateur and he was the one that was managing, you know, the what's it called, the entertainment when it comes to and
at
all
Casino
the, yeah at Casino Cinema. And
yeah,
I was privileged, you know, to see some of the biggest stars in Nigeria at the time, you know, that I mean the who's of who's, you know, and all. And that's why my love for the entertainment, you know, started from and all. So for me, I wouldn't say that they are catching up in that sense. You know, maybe you could say that at some point, you know, the Igbos, they picked up, you know, from living in bondage and from the rest and all and everything, which is a good thing, really. It's a good thing. Anything that takes us up, it's a good thing. So now that it seems like everything is now getting bigger and bigger, and everybody was now trying to pick, oh, we are the one that started it. What does that matter? That's what me I'm saying. It doesn't really count for anything. But if you really want to look at it from how Nollywood started, then Roberto Gundé, I mean, nobody can beat Mosico. I mean, it was later on that Yuli Doche, Peter Doche did.
Man, them way, Chico Ejiro, them Zebe Ejiro, all those guys
came up at some point. I'm trying to remember that TV series that made Peter Doche popular. Mm. When we're growing up, way back when. I've forgotten. Yeah, but I mean, everything that takes us up, you know, it's fine, really. But
I mean, two truths can exist, like you said. There was no point. There's really no point in me and in going in and saying, "Oh, we started this, we started that." Nobody cares, really. The point is, Nigerian movie is moving forward, right? Number two, I think maybe we've taken the reporter's question out of context. It's not really that deep, right? There's nothing wrong in saying that the Nigerian movies are catching up. She didn't need to go that deep. She didn't need to go that personal. Right, okay. It was a simple question. You can also say, oh, you know what? Yeah, we slacked up at some point, but we've been here all this while. And we're back
but
in
at
the
some
game
point,
again.
You know,
that's
she
it.
Needs to set the record straight.
Well, good luck to setting the record straight. We need to go on this short break. But when we come back, we're going to be discussing a few hot topics as well. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, We'll be discussing the Jackpot Wahala in the UK. Nigerians, UK, they are facing it real serious. And Pastor Kumuyi has almost, you know, caused Wahala again. When we come back, we'll get on it.
Hey, it's your girl Green G, all the way from Germany. My latest single Hope Now featuring T Got That Flame Spitter is officially available on all streaming platforms. Keep streaming. Also keep listening to my guys LA and Reg at Fantaka Junction. Real talk. What's up?
If we're tough like cement, we water don't spoil. Scratch like Joe with the crow boy.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us.
Yeah.
Let's jump right into it.
Yeah, before we jump into it, I need to get something off my chest for you.
It's been a while, man. I'm like, has your chest been deflated, my nigga?
No, for you.
Let it rip, bro. Let it rip.
So I saw I saw this I saw this post on Twitter, and then he had fried dodo and the beans.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was captioned, if you've been eating this, just know that you've been eating poison, you know, ever since. Da-da-da, not everything. Yeah, I just want to
fried plantain and dodo.
Ripe fried plantain and dodo. Okay. I mean, ripe fried plantain and beans.
And beans, okay.
Dodo and beans.
Dodo and beans, yeah.
I mean, let's even come to our own, the way we call it, dodo and beans. And dodo and ewa. Now, this person said that we've been eating poison ever.
We're laughing, bro.
Seriously. That's the biggest pile of crap anybody can put up, you know? If that is the case, dodo and beans for the win. And dodo and beans is going to be
like, you know how many people love plantain in this Nigeria? Like, I mean, are you trying to cause civil war?
Seriously, I mean, funny enough, I'm just watching that. Let me not give any advert to any brand, you know. But dodo and beans is the goal, and that will remain the goal.
I personally don't really like dodo and beans, to be honest. But I mean, I know guys who do anything for plantain, then again. Ripe plantain and then you fry it, that's probably not the healthy, you know, that's not a healthy food, to be honest.
Is it like you're eating it every day?
I mean, once in a while, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
allow us to indulge, Mr. Twitter user, whoever you are.
Health expert.
If you're a health expert, Apoku doctor, incarnate. All right, yeah, so you've gotten off your chest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you've passed that message across. Okay, right? Okay, so, okay. My nigga, we hear you, but we don't hear you. We're still gonna do our beans and dodo. Straight up. Get right into it. So this week again, it just looks like our Daddy Gios and our big pastors can't seem to get out of controversy when it comes to politics and the government of the day. Just some weeks ago, it was Pastor Poju Oyemade who was in the eye of the storm following a tweet he made about asking Nigerians to support
tweet.
I don't know, but I know he blocked a lot of people who he was just blocking even for the church members, plus people that are not in church members. He was just blocking everybody who didn't agree with, you know, that tweet of his. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's his opinion, right? Now Deeper Life's general overseer, Pastor Samuel Kumuyi, has also beat a drum of support for the government of the day. He's asked Nigerians to forget about the past. We should all band together, support the president. The ministers that he has chosen, none of them are greenhorns, according to the pastor. These ministers have all served in one capacity of leadership or the other, either as governor or as a senator. You know, these are experienced politicians who can bring the goal home, and he's promised that good things will happen under the government. And you know, Nigerians have come for him again, you know. It seems like these days anybody that is trying to say anything like let's support the president Tinubu is gonna collect dragging. I personally don't have a problem with the pastor saying, you know what, the progress of the country is what's important. Let us band together. Let us support the government. They are constituted authority. You know, let's work together with them for the good of the land. I don't have a problem with that. But I actually have an issue when a man of God is telling Nigerians that they should forget about the past. Let us work together with the president. And the president has picked a good number of people, a right team. Good things will happen under the president. What do you mean by forget the past? Are you referring to how all the atrocities that happened during the elections, people that were maimed, people that were beaten, people that were outrightly refused the chance for them to vote just because they were not going to vote, you know, the current president? Is that what you're telling us, that we should forget and just look ahead and move forward just because we are hoping that someone who got into a seat of power through questionable means, somehow we are expecting that the person will now do good for the land and not follow or pursue his own selfish desires? That's interesting from coming from a pastor, to be honest. And I maybe my expectations from our spiritual leaders are a bit too high. I thought that our leaders would be focusing more on teaching the people to uphold certain values, not to support certain kind of behaviors, expect certain kind of qualities from their leaders. But what I keep seeing in Nigeria is pastors who say, forget about the past, forget about what they have done, let's just pray for them, let's just support them. At this point, I think that even if the devil comes in human skin and sits in Aso Rock as president, these pastors will come and tell us, let's pray for the devil so that it's going to be for the good of the land. At what point are we going to call out the bullshit and just hold a pair of high standards and teach our people to also hold our leaders to these high standards? That's where my challenge is, really, and that's why I'm not really happy with, you know, Pastor Kumi coming out and telling Nigerians that you should forget about the past. Is it the woman whose eyes was torn because she wanted to vote in Ikeja that they tore her eyes aside because they knew she was going to vote for Peter Obi? Is that who she should forget about the past and vote and pray for Tinubu to because he's going to turn the country around? I mean, these guys, they just piss me off every time they come out and say these things. Really.
If I'm going to look at it, I don't really blame, I don't fault Pastor Kumuyi for coming out to say what he said. I can bet my last dollar that, am I saying dollar? I can best bet my last naira that if it was Peter Obi, he would say the same thing. You know, and that has been his modus operandi, you know, I mean, for time immemorial. And
yeah, because I remember he said the same thing about Buhari too. When Buhari won the election, he said that Buhari is going to lead Nigeria into. I mean, does that mean that you just come out and say things that come to your mind as a leader without any real spiritual unction to discern you know, the heart of man and the direction that they call? What makes you a spiritual leader if you can just come out and just say things carelessly?
No, I think it's just maybe he's not partisan and it's just feeling his civic duty when it comes to honoring, and that's what the what's it called, the Bible instructs, you know. Maybe that's what he's just doing. Because I don't really have any qualms with him. He's not been a controversial person, except for his early days when
he's not been a controversial person.
Yeah, except for the early days when
did you follow his ministry?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Except for the early days when people were throwing their TVs away, and Baba got Rema again, bought his own TV, and then in recent time he brought Nathaniel Bassey, Don Moen, and it was his church members that were haggling him, like, why is he bringing unbelievers to come on?
Don Moen is an unbeliever.
You can imagine. Wow. You can imagine. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. That's what I've always said. Like, Nigerians, especially Christians, you know, that follow these guys, you need to come to a point where you too, you understand the Bible. That's why I like this guy, Irene Emmanuel. He's a pastor. He's a young guy. He's 33 or thereabouts. He's a young guy.
Yeah.
And he's doing very well. Very, learned guy when it comes to the Word of God. You know, it's very sound. you know, and all. And that's how everybody, you know, that's a Christian, that's how they should know their Bible, you know, so that when the elders are speaking, when the elders are saying this is what it is and all, you too, you understand the Bible. You can actually tell them like, I don't see it that way, you know, and that's going to be fine, really. But if you don't know it, you subject yourself, you know, to spiritual authority in quotes, you know, and then they say stuff and you don't really understand the Bible, and then you are just following like a headless chicken and all.
Yeah,
that's what happens, you know. They just take you to where you, you know, they
where you don't know,
where you don't know. You know, so for me, I'm not holding Pastor Kumuyi for anything, you know. I think for me that, and that's where the human frailties, yeah, comes into, you know, comes to fore. You know, where we see them as infallible, you know, that anything that they say is law and everybody should just, you know, I mean follow and all. I mean, I can respectfully disagree, you know, when I read the Bible and what I understand is not what you are presenting to me, I can respectfully disagree, you know. But some of the things that the old heads too, some of the things that they don't like is that disagreement. When people disagree and say, I don't understand it that way, and there is nobody that is God over anybody, you know. Everybody were on the same plane, you know. We just have different years, you know, to this thing and all. So I don't really blame Pastor Kumuyi for saying that. I mean, that's him doing what he should do and all, and that's fine. But, you know, I'm sure if Peter Obi was there, that's exactly what he would say, and Tinubu's camp would be very upset with him.
Yeah, so that's the problem I have. The problem I have with that is, are you being a rubber stamp pastor, where you just come out and say whoever it is, whether they even sacrifice the lives of millions of people to get to office, as far as they are the ones in office, you just come out and start beating drumming support
but
for them.
Don't
forget. Is that what we want our church to be?
Well, I get what you're saying, but don't forget that election has not really been like smooth sail, you know, when it comes to some people. I mean actually go as far as killing people, you know.
And yeah,
yeah. So I think it's just the environment, you know, that we find ourselves, you know. And election everywhere, election, we see what's happening in America now, you know, and all, indicting Trump, indicting my guy and all and everything. And well, I'm sure it's still going to beat them to the cleaners and all. But that aside, you know, what I'm saying is Nigerians too, we have a part, you know, to play, really. Let's not sit back, you know, and get upset at everything that all these pastors say, you know, because they are humans, you get. And when they now, what's it called, they now fall your hand, you are now throwing tantrums like, oh, why would they say that? And because they are humans, you feel your own part too, you know. Hold your government accountable. I mean, let everybody play their own part. Don't leave it to one person. And if he's actually saying stuff that doesn't, send a letter to what's it called, the pastor, draft a letter, do publish it, and say you disagree, you know. So for me, I don't really think, and that's why I really like my pastor, you know, my late pastor Taiwo Dukoya. He write leadership articles and business, on newspaper and all.
Yeah.
And he's done that, you know, for as long as I know, really. You know, and I think everybody can be expressive in different ways, you know, and all. So maybe if Pastor Kumuyi is not in that space, maybe if he's not really in that space of, you know, calling leaders out and all, what have you and all. But anybody that comes, he feels like his own civic duty is just, you know, commend them and tell them to do the good thing for the people and all, and that's fine. That's fine for me. I don't really think that is
That's fine for you. So if I get you right, let's hold our leaders to high standards, but you know, let's relax on those standards for our religious leaders.
No, who is holding them to that standard? Who is holding the religious leaders to that standard?
Now we should hold them to high standards.
But, I mean, at some point, really, like I said, at some point, what people actually want is, they want the leader, the religious leader, to start sharing their own sentiments.
Not really.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that is what that person believes, then that's fine. That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody should know, understand the Bible. If that person is saying something that you don't really agree, you to put your own article out. put your own post
and
out.
So my point about that is, it's convenient for you saying that, but the truth is, when you rise to the position of being, especially in this part of the world, a religious leader, a general overseer of a major church like that, your sentiment can easily be adopted as the sentiment of hundreds of thousands of people.
Do you know the funny thing? Do you know that all the people that are going to his church, do you know they have the unreserved right to leave his church?
Of course, well,
yeah,
they're
so,
not.
Yeah, so why are they there?
They probably,
Yeah, because there is no vacuum in leadership. You get? Mm. People are always looking for somebody to follow. And I'm saying, like, first thing first, you lead yourself. Lead yourself by understanding what the Bible says, so that you are not holding some people, because we make gods out of these people. So whenever they say stuff, we now get upset. Why is he saying that? Why is he not saying what I believe should be the case? I know, but that is what he believes. He's first individual before he's a pastor, you know, and he's leading the way he feels, you know, I mean, is right for him to lead. So I mean, there is really,
I get you on that one.
I don't think
so. It's left to the people to decide
exactly
if they, you know, that's the captain of the ship,
exactly,
they want to be in, right?
Exactly. If that's the person you want to, I mean, stay under, I mean, and that's fine, really. So for me, I don't really think, I mean,
that's an interesting one. Yeah, anyways, like you said, I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you, right? At the end of the day, the pastors are individuals and they're entitled to their own opinion. Their opinions may or may not be the right opinion. But as a follower and a believer in Christ as well, you also have the unreserved right to, you know, decide whether you align with, you know, your religious leader's sentiments or not. And you can choose your own path at the end of the day, to be honest. Finally, let's touch on something that, you know, hits a little bit home from abroad. It hits home from abroad.
it hits home from abroad.
Yeah, this one.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we're not new to the Japa wave, right? That swept across Nigeria for the last 2 to 3 years. Mass migrations to places like the UK, Canada, some parts in Australia, in Europe.
Nigeria is actually everywhere. Nigeria is everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, Nigerians are moving.
Japan, everywhere. I have someone in South Korea, everywhere.
They're moving everywhere. Now, at the time while that mass exodus appeared to be like the right choice or the best way out of a very tough economic situation led by the last president, Muhammadu Buhari. At that time,
Ghana
seemed like the best decision, and we had people moving in droves. And
Ghana is going through their own.
Yeah.
But Nigeria still finds.
Yeah. Just as the dust begins to settle on the first two waves of Jaguar migration, reality is beginning to set in. We are hearing tales of Nigerians who have been left despondent in the United Kingdom because they've gone in with the promise of getting a job after securing a skilled visa through agents, only for them to arrive at the United Kingdom and find out that there is no job waiting for them. These people have paid £10,000, £15,000 to this agent, you know, with the promise of getting a job when they arrive as care workers, realizing that there is no job. There is no care worker job for them. The few of them who managed to get some shifts are only able to get 12-hour shifts. And after about 2 months or 3 months, those shifts are no longer available and they are left on their own. Nigerians pile up their food banks and shelters. You know, these are people who back home in Nigeria are probably branch managers at a bank or had some steady job. They've sold everything, sold their cars, taking loans, hoping that, you know, they can get to the UK and start a new life. Meanwhile, reality has been very different for them. And the question now for me is, little by little, it's becoming clear that the United Kingdom is not exactly the safe haven that we thought it was. What's the way forward for Nigerians? And to these agents who are scamming Yeah, fellow Nigerians, what is your problem?
I think that's the highlight. that's the highlight.
What is your problem? Why are you allowing the devil to use you like this? Why must we always look for ways to exploit ourselves? First of all, I think it's even crazy for anybody in this country to think that somebody can promise you a visa and a job while you are still here. And they are telling you pay £10,000, £15,000, and when you come, a job is waiting for you. Mm. Part of the desperation that you have is what is making you fall victim to these things as well. Yeah. So I think Nigerians who have experienced this fate need to also take the blame for their own, I don't want to say gullibility, but allowing desperation to get the better side of them as well.
Well, I mean, but we know that self-preservation, survival instinct, you know, like, I mean, it's something that is it's a natural thing. It's something that is spontaneous. Like, it's not something that you
think through.
Yeah, you know, because and you know, everybody know what happened during Buhari's time. It was a very bad economic situation for everybody, almost everybody.
Yeah,
you know, and people, I mean, case study was during the cash crunch.
Yeah,
you know, and all. That's why I feel like Emefiele should do long time, you know. should do a very long time, you know, in prison.
Even though they're not even trying him for that economic policy.
They are still not trying him, but he should do long time in what's it called. People were saying, the president could have done this, because what we've come to understand is that the CBN is independent.
He's autonomous now.
He's autonomous, independent of the federal government.
Yeah.
He was
complicit.
He was actually the one that was passing all those, implementing all those policies. The president is just kind of like allowing him, you know, to freehand, you know, to operate. And then it was obvious that the guy had his own ideas and all. You know, so that one, I mean, that guy should really go to jail for a long time, you know, for what he has done to Nigerians. Nigerians dying needlessly.
Yeah.
That guy should. And that kind of, you can see the desperation at that period.
Yeah.
Where people go to the bank and then they die at the bank.
Yeah.
I mean, it was something that would put panic in anybody that has money that can travel out, you know? I mean, that would make them to take such decisions and all. So sometimes I don't really blame, you know, people, because of which you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, you know? We saw how people, that was a very bad sight. How people were, scaling fence, you know, out of banks to go and collect their money.
People were just stripping naked out of frustration in the banks.
And bank staff, scaling fence so that they don't get mobbed and all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that period was a time where it was a hopeless situation for some people, you know, for almost all Nigerians that are, you know, majorly downtrodden and all, you know, so... It was a time where people were just taking, brash decisions and all that and everything. So I can imagine what these guys, you know, have taken those decisions, you know, and gone there and all, you know. But, I mean, ridiculously, Nigerians are actually the ones that are taking doing that to Nigerians as well. So we now see where the government came from. I always say it, the government is the people. When people are always like, oh, bad people, you know, what's it called? Tinubu's government, they need to go to jail, blah, 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 everything. Let them get appointments first. The people that are doing posts, let them get appointments first. Maybe we'll see Omojua.
Yeah.
We see Tolu Ogunlesi.
Yeah.
We see a lot of them. We see them, Chude and the rest of them.
But, of our time.
Yeah, the activity. The great general Kensaro Wiwas and Ganifa Emis of our time, you know. I mean, props to the late Ganifa Emi. I know those ones are a rare breed.
Yeah.
They are one of those, you know, I mean,
truly incredible, incorruptible women.
Yeah, those ones that cannot be penetrated, you know, that rather die for their integrity, you know, than go So for me, those are the things that cause Nigerians to make those decisions and all, you know. But it's sad that that's what they're experiencing there, and it's more intense because it's not an environment that they've come to know.
Yeah.
You know, and I like this thing that Charlie Boy put up, you know, on his Twitter. I mean, on his X, sorry. It's not no longer Twitter. Thank God it's no longer Twitter. But Elon Musk needs to be careful. They've started to censor some people. And Elon Musk needs to be careful. So this is what he put up. He says Nigerians in the UK are working to build houses at home, while Nigerians at home are selling their houses to come to the UK. You know, and that's like the irony of our life. That's
what paradox.
Paradox. You know. So for me, I feel sorry for them. I feel pity for them. I hope that they can turn it around, you know, and make something out of whatever they are going through and all. And more so, it's not an environment that they've come to know. If it is Nigeria, you know, it's your country.
Yeah.
You know, things get bad.
You can always find a way around.
You can always go around it and all. And everything. But that environment, that cold environment, you know, that you don't really know much people and all and everything. And the UK, I mean, it's not a place that you just want to go.
Hear me out. I hear you on, you know, self-preservation being an instinct thing.
Yeah.
And human beings just naturally thinking, what can I do to just make sure that I find myself in a place that is better than this?
Yeah.
I understand that, right? But again, to the point that you made, I think that when people feel like they are being pinched somewhere and they want to look for a place of relief, it's always careful to make sure that you don't jump from the fire pan into the fire.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the first level due diligence you even make first before you make a move. Right, like you rightly said, the UK is a regime on its own.
Yeah.
Right, it's an environment on its own. It's a lifestyle of its own.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave the known and go to the unknown without having a clear plan. Running over to the UK just because you think anywhere but here is never really the best ideology. It really isn't, right? Until you experience what the fire is, you will not know that the fire pan is actually not that bad. So my own recommendation, and really that's what, until you experience what the fire is, you will not know that the fire pan is really not that bad. Even though the fire pan is bad, right? You don't realize that. And that's why I always caution people who say things like, it can't get any worse. I always caution people that say things like that, because when I hear someone say something like that, it sent a signal to me that you are not really aware.
It's desperation.
You are not really aware that things can always get worse, actually. No matter how bad you think things are right now, they can get worse. You just have to just make a move first and enter with the fire. Then you know the fire pan is actually not that bad, you know. And I mean, I'm saying that for everyone who's listening now, and you're caught in two minds. You're thinking, you know, the prospects in Nigeria isn't that great, and you have big plans for yourself. You're thinking, I need to move. Canada, you know, the US, the UK. I don't blame anybody who thinks that leaving is the solution for the situation right now. I agree that, yes, you should actually chase opportunities elsewhere. However, have a clear plan, right? Don't allow anybody smell your desperation so that you are not used as chicken fodder. Don't allow yourself to be exploited by people who are looking to take advantage of anyone and everyone trying to escape the current situation in the country. Do your due diligence, have a clear plan, make sure you have a backup plan as well. It's very risky to just sell everything on one bet of I'll just go and I'll try and find a way to survive. Very, very risky. Have a backup plan, have enough support to make sure that if you fall, you can at least land and bounce back. If not, you just realize that the home that you think is so bad, man, it's probably better than what you thought it was when you were planning to leave.
I just wish them well, actually. I wish them well. I mean, and I'm hoping, you know, I mean, what else can we do? We hope and pray that, I mean, and then Nigerians, you know, will get, what's it called, will get right, you know, and start to, I mean, progress forward, really, you know. They've removed subsidy, they've removed, I mean, was floated in Naira. They've done everything, you know, that they are saying that is holding Nigeria back and all.
Yeah.
Now,
let's see results.
Let's see results.
Yeah, we need to see results.
Let's see results, you know, and people that kind of tries to mess up the system, I mean, going forward, they should figure out a way
to flush them out.
Rats, I mean, where they can spend the rest of their life in jail so that people can know, just like Emefiele. Emefiele should be like the first scapegoat.
Murphy.
You know, that, yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is, really.
It is what it is. And we are hoping, I mean, it's still a couple of months to the end of the year. Good things can still happen.
Good things can still happen.
Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed. That's all we've got time for on the show today. We've got to go. However, we do hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have any opinions about any of the topics we talked about, leave us a comment on Spotify or on Twitter, or drop us a voice note on our WhatsApp, and we'll be good to, you know, address your comments in our next episode. From us at The Junction, we're signing out. We're going to catch you all next week. Till then, stay jiggy. Signing out. Ciao.